When at the Venice TV conference this year, Richard Marx ran into Jane Clark, the CEO of CIM, the Centre for Innovative Media Measurement in the US, and Chris Ahern, the General Manager of Emirates Media Measurement, and they discussed the main points of interest they would be taking away. Whilst their markets are clearly at very different stages of development, it's interesting to note the value they both find in people getting together and sharing their experiences, not least because help resolving difficult problems can often come from unexpected sources.
So I'm here with Chris Ahern of Emirates Media Measurement and with Jane Clark of CIM in the US. So firstly, Jane, what were your main objectives in attending ASI in terms of the big issues that CIM are focused on at the moment that you're interested in fact-finding about?
Well, CIM's big focus has always been improving cross-platform measurement solutions and whether we could also improve television measurement through the use of more granular return path data. And ASI is basically the premier conference, I would almost say globally, but definitely in Europe, to hear in detail about how everyone around the world is dealing with all the same issues. So we learn a lot, you know, by coming here, and I take it all back to the CIM members, and I've got some great ideas to work on going back, actually.
And what do you think the main themes have been so far? We've still got one more session to go, but across the first day and a half.
Well, it's really interesting to see how every country is using so many vendors to do solutions, you know, and in some cases you have them all working together. Some markets, I don't know if the JICs, the digital JIC and the television JIC are.
GfK, Nielsen.
Oh, yeah, they all are. If you ask every single one, I think you probably get almost the same chart.
Yeah.
And also I would say that the solutions are not all the same. You know, there's a lot more emphasis in Europe on fusion away from single source. And I think the U.S. would rather have a bigger mix of single source, at least to get two- or three-way duplication, and then have some of the data integration. And also, the U.S. is moving a bit more in the direction of big data as a way of deduping, you know, so using, you know, forms of identity that come from either companies like Facebook or Google or Apple, who have first-party ways to dedupe across devices and get individuals, or other companies that are collecting these databases to try to attach to a household all the email addresses, all the mobile phone numbers, all the device IDs, everything, and do it all in the background in a privacy-compliant way. But to, you know, create a data system that you can plan and activate and evaluate on the same set of data, which says, you know, which makes you wonder about the future of all the panels and the research approaches. But I think we still need them for now. We still need them for now because that data is not there yet. It's not completely clean.
And Chris, you're obviously running a People Meets a panel in a quite a challenging environment, and we're asking specifically questions about persons recognition. But just to rewind slightly, so your big focus on being here at the moment is?
I'm always here to, because I come from, you know, a more emerging and developing market perspective, and what's always interesting to me coming to these things is to see how much of what we're going through is shared and, you know, has either been solved or is, as I found out today, sometimes still an issue more mature markets. So it's sort of depressing and encouraging at the same time.
And what do you find useful about ASI and as a forum for this sort of thing?
Just that it does give a chance to network, to exchange these ideas and sort of to get a little bit more idea of the roadmap of, you know, where we eventually can go. Because when you are in an emerging or developing market, you know, people are often very focused on getting it perfect and you know, saying, oh well, let's get everything done, you know, let's do all the second screen and the online and that sort of stuff, and you know, sometimes it gives you a chance to sort of say, look, that is not without its issues and problems, it's not a magic solution, we actually need to get the fundamentals right and then move on to these other things.
And again, what do you think the main themes have been so far?
Certainly it was interesting about, you know, the multiplication of vendors, What I found interesting, actually, one of the things that came out, I think this year more than previous ones I've been to, has been the, I hesitate to use the word convergence because it's so overused, but between the standards of online and second screen measurement and the standards that are being used for television, there seems to be a lot more people talking about the need for that to actually happen now and not allow them to continue on sort of never intersecting paths. So that was interesting.
And yesterday we had some papers around the topic of whether context mattered or whether the future was effectively programmatic, where you're buying audiences rather than programs, effectively. Do you feel that that debate is still ongoing, or did you get any more clues as to whether a program delivers something above and beyond the simple ads in it, or?
Yeah, that's probably one that you know is so far beyond where we are that I haven't really given that a lot of thought, to be honest. We're so far away from programmatic sort of development advertising that I have to pass on that one, I think.
I think US obviously is talking a lot about programmatic, but what was it? What's your take on it?
Yes, but also it's been touched on a little bit here, but I think the separation of content measurement from ad measurement is really key.
Yeah.
Because, and we don't fully do that in the US. I mean, you all measure ads in Europe. We don't even measure ads in the US. We measure minutes that have commercials in them.
Yeah.
So when you talk about combining, one of the things Nielsen didn't completely cover in there is for them to combine their digital and their linear, they're only combining and deduping for the ones that have exactly the same ad load.
And nobody
in digital is using the same ad load and the same ads.
Yeah.
And so there's a movement that has to happen and a discussion that has to happen because the need for it is there. When you have dynamic ad insertion and VOD, when you have things like addressable advertising, an advertiser just wants to add up all the impressions across my whole campaign. You know, my unduplicated reach across the whole campaign, right? They don't really care in some ways exactly what content, although in some cases they do care what content it's affiliated with, but they need that total ad number. But the networks still need content ratings. They still need their unduplicated reach for planning purposes across all the platforms. So I think that there just needs to be a lot more flexibility that we can break apart ad measurement from content measurement.
When I started off in media measurement, and for most of the time I've been in it, the assumption has always been that if you measure the program, then the ads will come along with the program. But I think this decoupling thing is absolutely going to be the next challenge, if it isn't already.
But it'll still be both, because in the US, you have both happening. So you have audience buying, where they're just finding a target, finding it wherever they can, and buying against that target. But with a qualifier for appropriate or safe content, usually.
Yeah.
But then you have these huge deals that the content owners are doing, where they're offering a big package to an advertiser with all kinds of integration and extra add-ons and cross-platform and, you know, ability to help them to tailor their ads across platforms, creative advice kind of, you know, creative versioning. So they're doing that to keep within the context. And some, you know, like a context of a sports show, you don't necessarily want to just go buy an audience against that. You want to link into the content.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for spending some time with us. Enjoy the afternoon. I'll
say one last thing, is that I actually got an idea from Chris here, a very practical, concrete idea that I'm going to be taking back and
testing. Can you reveal what it is?
Yeah, it's when you're trying to... we have a kids project where we're trying to deal with this issue of getting compliance in the household that's been a long-term issue with people meters, And it's a big issue in the kids measurement space. And we've been looking at a whole bunch of things like facial recognition, you know, cool apps with icons that are more kid-friendly. And from what he said in his question, I got to thinking about a Fitbit type of wristband,
which
would be a perfect way that you could give a benefit to the panelists by tracking what they're doing, running around in their day or whatever else you want to give them, in return for wearing it and having sort of RFID or Bluetooth or something that can indicate who the person is.
It's surprising wearable tech hasn't really cropped up yet. That could be a question for the next session.
There you go.
That's brilliant. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. No worries.
That would have been a good podcast in its own right, actually.
I thought you were
going to
video us. It's much more fun.
Oh, no. No, Graham may still try and video you.